You can't control what's outside your home, but you can control what comes in. Because Clorox disinfecting wipes kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria, including COVID-19 virus, when used as directed on hard, non-porous surfaces. So whether it's from dirty doorknobs, dirty shoes, or something else, outside germs won't stand a chance. When it counts, trust Clorox. Kill Pseudomonas, Salmonella, and Influenza virus type A2. Kill SARS-CoV-2 on hard, non-porous surfaces. Use as directed.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Mixed Martial Mindset Holiday Spectacular. I am Jason Burmis, and I am of course joined as always by John Fitch. Hope you enjoyed the 22nd gag. Merry Christmas there, John. We got a couple days, but it feels jolly, doesn't it? It feels like the jolliest Christmas ever.
It's so jolly. It's just, you know, it's what you think of when you think of Christmas time.
Especially if you're in the United Kingdom or in Great Britain in particular.
Yeah, they've canceled Christmas and people tell me, I get in arguments with people all the time about how, Europe and the UK are so much freer than the United States.
No. How about no? Nope. How about absolutely not?
Nope.
The thing is, though, John, they don't show you the pockets of resistance in the United States. Like, I don't know how they do it.
I see it, you know, around little places in California. There are places, San Luis Obispo area. Mm-hmm. It seemed there, you know, I was there a couple weeks ago. There's lots of, there's Hillary for prison signs still up. There's a bunch of Trump signs up. There's people, pockets in San Diego, there's pockets in Huntington Beach, and that's just, you know, California.
Well, out here, I actually saw a Tulsi Gabbard 2020 sign up the other day, and they took away our restrictions. I can go to a bar again. They're open. So the 10 o'clock thing is over here in Iowa.
We're shut down.
Yeah, again, there's no reporting of that in the national media, just like the national media completely ignored the fact. I reported it was 12,000. There are reports of up to 15,000 people that gathered at the Alamo Dome in Texas for a sporting event, John. It's so odd.
People?
What's that?
How many people?
All right, so like I reported 12,000, okay?
12,000 people.
Reported. It was actually 15. And it's impossible to find the headline. Watch. Well, we'll do it live here, folks, before we get to any of it. Before we get to the whole spiel. And thumbs this up. This is...
It doesn't seem real.
It doesn't, right? So...
I don't know. I had a recent conversation with a nurse friend of mine. And she was venting about a situation where it seemed like they were just kind of rushing this guy who had COVID along to, like, just let him die. Just like he came in, was wanted to fight, and then 2 days later he's just like, no, just let me die.
How old was the guy?
He wasn't in good condition, but mm-hmm. It was a situation where it seemed like they just didn't even want to put in the effort. Mm-hmm. So they kept just like talking the guy into like saying, no, I don't want to fight anymore.
So
they kept giving him all the reasons to not.
It's loving. That's because they love you, John. So if it's all the love of corporate America and billionaires around the world, all the love. So again, it's very hard to find. If you type in Canelo versus Callum Smith crowd, you can kind of get it here. But notice it's in none of the headlines where it says he fought in front of a crowd of nearly 15,000 people at the Alamo right. Dome in San Antonio. And yet I type in the word crowd and yet I go to news. And nowhere in the headlines.
Can you use a different search engine?
Let's try. What should we go with?
DuckDuckGo.
Let's do it. DuckDuckGo.com.
Real time, people. Are we conspiracy theorists?
Let's see what we got here. Canelo versus Smith, and I'm going to type in crowd. Let's see if there were any headlines out there. Nope. Even there, and I get it, it's a fight, and they're talking about the fights, but you would think with COVID-1984 and the fact that even...
Nobody mentioning it.
Not anywhere.
You know what that is? That is people are making money somewhere, so they don't even say it because they didn't get condemned because there's not even any negative articles.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right. It's not even negative articles. It's really, it's just nothing. It's crickets.
Did you see what Dana White did today? Mm-mm. So Dana White put out like a 6.5 minute video shitting.
Oh, I didn't listen to it, but I like kind of fast forward through some of the images, but I didn't listen to it.
Oh, dude, he was shitting all over the media.
But it was like, yeah, everybody who doubted them putting on sports and getting back to work.
He even threw a little shade Big John McCarthy's way. He even threw Big John to the wolves in that one. So, you know, McCarthy had said something, too, about the power of the dollar over the safety of the fighters. And you know me, I've been in disagreement with that from the very beginning. I said if anybody should be able to do this, it's professional athletes as their immune systems
you know,
are.
Right at the beginning, though, you got to give people a little bit of benefit of the doubt right at the beginning. We didn't know much about right at the beginning. You know, when Bellator canceled the first show, maybe we didn't know. But like, you know, a few months into it, when they first started doing shows again, everybody kind of knew it was bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, when was it? It was April, right, that they finally got that first show off. So we'd already been deep down the rabbit hole.
Well, so when as we got into May, people were, I think a lot of people were already over it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's because the Black Lives Matters protests started also, and it was all just like a big wonder ball of bullshit
like
in your face
a
where
big laugh. Okay, yeah, it's fine for these people to do it, but not the other group.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. All right, before we get going, guys, I got to go fund me. This is how I do it. $5, $10, $15 means the world to me. Big donors. I'm probably going back to D.C. January 4th through the 6th for this next rally in March. So really could use your support there. Right, yeah, you should come, Fitch. Come on. Come across the country. Come to D.C. I'm trying to get militants.
Anybody need some self-defense seminars out there? Or, BJJ, some MMA?
Well, maybe
find a gym that can fund the trip.
You should do a private session. You should get in touch with the Proud Boys, and you should do like a open session for one fee, and just teach them one technique, probably like the choke, like the behind the back choke, just the quick choke. Try to get out of a front to front situation and put your opponent down. No problem. That'd fund the trip for you. That's an easy 2K. You do that, John. We got to do it. You should get out there. Thumbs the video up, subscribe, and share. We're 60,000 strong over here. Check out the documentary films. You can find everything Fitch at johnfitch.net, including how to get seminars from Fitch and some of the seminars that you have online. Tell people about that.
Yeah, so I've been filming some of the seminars I've been traveling around doing, and I've been doing seminars for a long time. So, you know, I've got a lot of information to teach. But not everybody can get me for the seminars, and not everybody can make it out to the seminars. So I made it available on Gumroad, gumroad.com/John Fitch. I have a bunch of stuff on there. I'm putting more stuff up all the time, and you can get some technique through the internet.
You hear that? If you want to be the lone Antifa member that can do some talking with some of these instead of a bike lock or shouting me down for walking past people, then I wasn't dressed like you. I mean, you saw that, Fitch. I mean, it was utterly ridiculous. Literally within moments, and you're being attacked by these people in black that don't want to show their face. I suppose there's a lot of wackiness to talk about.
It's just a weird. It's weird, man.
It is, right?
The power of persuasion. The power of persuasion. Humans are very emotional. I think this is why a lot of, you know, the philosophers and a lot of the old leaders and whatever, they focused a lot on stoicism and like separating themselves from emotions and keeping themselves, because that emotional side, that was like your animal side. And like, we're supposed to like be like surpassing our animal selves. But in the last like decade, it's all been emotion, back to animal self, block out the stoic sense and just act on all your feelings immediately. And people aren't like forced to face their consequences that often. I don't know.
Well,
it's weird.
I think like the strong silent type, unfortunately, that ended with our dad's generation, right? Even with our generation, the guys in there, let's say 30s and 40s, and maybe even approaching their 50s at some point. You know, we were always taught it was okay to cry. It was okay to embrace our emotions. And to some level, I agree with that. You can't just bottle everything up and not let it out. But it turned into not only you doing that, but then as social media crept in, when these people, when we were in our early 20s, right? All of a sudden, it was every emotion and every problem and letting everybody know what was going on in our lives every moment of every day. And now we have bullshit terms like FOMO for fear of missing out. And I mean, like you've taken, you know, actual concerns, you've kind of like inflated them in a hyper manner, and then you've put them on blast for everybody to see. And well, you've made it acceptable.
You've rewarded victimhood and suffering and pain. You get points for it. Oh, I went through this. Ding, ding, ding. And then you get pity points. And it's just... It doesn't really get you anywhere. You get to this higher level of the hierarchy of the pity, the most pitiful, and like, what does that get you? You're the most pitiful. Congratulations.
But again, it's used as some kind of social currency now, right? It's who can one up
for a very, very small group of people, and I think it's only kind of only floats online. Like, what in real world circles does anybody reward that type of behavior, or want to hang out in that group? Like, it doesn't seem like that's real.
Yeah, but again, John,
it's all online.
We were in a time period where, and I assume you were similar. I mean, I get that you were an athlete in your early 20s and probably you know, hanging around those people. But I had a core group of about 6 to 10 friends that at any moment of any day, if we weren't working or whatever, there was at least 3 or 4 of us together. And you would call to find out who was together. And then by the end of the night or the end of the week or whatever, you'd all get together and you'd have that core group of friends. And sometimes you would spend hours on end just together. You'd have to go to the store together.
We lived away from home in houses with people. Other people our age.
You were either looking.
Now the kids all live at home.
Yeah.
It was like things were that much cheaper. We had people who would put 2 people in a bedroom all the time. They would split rent. It was normal. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be a 3-bedroom house. You'd have 6 people living there. That wasn't a strange thing. We had things where like there'd like be like a little room that was a double door thing, and it wasn't even a room, but somebody would like lock the double doors, and then all of a sudden it was a room, and they would rent that one extra section out. I mean, you just made do. I feel like kids don't take that risk at all anymore. They don't want to be uncomfortable at all. They don't want to have to recycle their coffee grounds. And use that and make coffee 3 times at the same coffee grounds because they can't afford more coffee. They want to go to Starbucks every day.
Well, UBI is coming, man. They've already gotten this new, this new stimulus package of $600, but then it's going to be $300 more.
And they're doing that because, they're going to give you a little bit of that. And then when they come back with like the $1,200, you're going to feel like it's so much money. And that's what the UBI check is going to be.
Dude. Listen, I'm just glad that I'm somewhat in crypto right now. I'm kind of diversifying a little bit. I'm picking up some of these really low-priced penny stock tokens.
Rockfin, get on Rockfin, everyone, immediately.
Well, I got some Rockfin news for you.
Buy some Ray tokens.
But it's going to be behind the it's going to have to be behind the scenes. But I got a big Rockfin project coming up, folks. It looks good. I had another meeting about it today. And speaking of the Ray token, hit another all-time high in the last 48 hours. I don't know if you saw it, but at one point it hit $1.66. So that's what I'm saying. Hit $1.66. It's ranging around $1.35 right now. Again, guys, Rockfin. And you know what I just saw for the first time, John? And by the way, we're both over here on the Rockfin, where they did a mint where I'm starting to get fractions of a Ray token. You know how it's always been like a certain amount?
Wow, always at least one.
Yeah, not anymore.
I've never gotten lower than one Ray token.
Well, now they're there. So the point Ray tokens are starting to take hold. That means it's almost out of the beta. And you're going to see, I think you're going to see that platform explode for a number of reasons.
A lot of really great creators. I can spend all weekend on there watching stuff.
Dude, I was watching Graham Elwood last night, right? And you watch Graham Elwood?
I met him in San Francisco like a decade ago.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me. And you got the t-shirt. You should have him on, man. He's a good dude. But he was just doing his normal talk. And listen, Graham and I, we disagree on a lot. You know, he's pretty much traditional, lefty, progressive, falls into some of the social justice warrior stuff I don't love. but talks about human trafficking, talks about, you know, corporate corruptness, a lot of good stuff. And someone came in there talking smack about Jimmy Dore and how Cenk Uygur and all those guys are shitting all over him because Jimmy lives in a nice house, right? And, dude, he just went for like a 20-minute tirade about how he would kick the shit out of all these guys. And he wasn't playing. Like, he was really getting mad. He's like, I'm 51 fucking years old. I've stood next to Uygur. I'll fucking tune you up, and I'll tell you how I'm going to do it, and then I'll do it to you in front of your kids. He was killing it last night. He got a super chat out of me for that one. Graham, we're going to have you on the show, man. Killing it. I loved it.
Funny.
I like a little fire, a little anger. Now,
yeah, man. Like, I watch a lot of Jimmy Dore, and he's one of those guys I don't agree with on a lot of things, but it's good to see somebody who at least called BS, you know, on both sides at least a little bit. He's still biased in certain directions, but like, yeah.
Well, really, I want to have conversations with those people.
Challenges my ideas a little bit.
I want to have conversations with those people that are going to challenge my ideas. And that if I hit them with a point that's maybe different from theirs, they're not just going to close me off, but they're going to try to hit me a counterpoint or maybe concede that I might be right. And maybe I'll concede that they're right. Imagine that, John, a society where people listen to one another, take the best information, and then can accept it instead of going, no!
Well, that's the thing, though, is we live in a society where the best information is bought and sold.
Well, I mean, when
right? So, like, when there are no independent experts. Like, name one independently wealthy expert who's an expert because he's just a rich guy who says things and isn't influenced by anybody else's money. They don't exist. So when you say, "Oh, well, I'll refer to the experts," well, which one? Which corporate expert who got paid to say what are you listening to? What PR do you want to listen to? Because it's highly unlikely that it's just some noble scientist or expert, whatever, who's just not influenced or persuaded in any way with his judgments or what he's saying. I don't believe it.
Did you see AOC? That's not human
nature. That's not human nature. We're not robots. There's no moral code, and the guy's going to get stricken down by lightning if he lies by a vengeful God. That's not happening. Like,
you know, the funny thing is, like, I started going back and forth with my buddy, right, about, first of all, the vaccine. Now, I don't know if you've seen the clip I've been playing of Dr. Vin Gupta. He gets the vaccine on air with another doctor, and then he completely admits that they don't know whether the vaccine will stop the transmission of the virus at all after he takes it. He says, we'll know more in 2 to 4 weeks. So then I point out to my buddy,
these people are all guinea pigs. These are all guinea pigs.
Well, they also talk about a 90% efficacy rate. But as we've discussed, the efficacy is on the antibodies, and that's it. And the antibodies don't mean jack shit if they're not going to test you first to see if you already have them, or they're not going to suggest you get the vaccine if you've already had COVID-19, none of which they are. Rand Paul actually pointed that out yesterday on Twitter. He goes, you know, that would make too much sense that we don't vaccinate the 17 million people who've already gotten it. But hey, this policy doesn't seem to make sense at all. So I'm going back and forth with, my buddy, and I'm pointing out, well, dude, why would I take a vaccine when they're telling me that if I take the vaccine, I have a higher risk of getting HIV? And this, of course, is Forbes. And anybody can read this. So now the vaccine could actually lower my immunity to HIV. Oh, or how about this one, John? They are already having people test positive, false positives for HIV right after taking the vaccination.
This all sounds so awful.
I mean, I think it sounds great, obviously.
Why is this?
Not headlines?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't get it.
If that doesn't sound wild enough, this is from the CDC's own website. Okay? Now, anybody can go this. It says cdc.gov on the top. We're going to put the link in the live chat for anybody to go pick it up. Now, this is the first 4 days of the vaccine. All right? First 4 days. They did 112,807 vaccinations. Now, under that, you see what? 3,150 health impact events. Now, these aren't side effects, John. These are health impact.
Health impact.
You want to hear how they define?
Their spleen exploded.
They are
their
defined.
Eyeballs rotted out. Were eaten by maggots.
Unable to perform normal daily activities. Unable to work. Required care from a doctor or a healthcare professional. That works out to less than 3%, around 2.7%. Now, remember, this thing has a fatality rate of what? 0.6%, according to the WHO, and it has a hospitalization rate of somewhere between 1 and 2%. Yet 2.7% out of the gates in the first few days. And if you see this, look, not every day was it shown the first day. In other words, it wasn't just like that nurse passing out, right? Because if you look, you have 679, and there's only three adverse reactions on the first day. So the next day when they ramp it up times 10, instead of seeing 30 in line with that, so you would have 33, all of a sudden it's 50. So that means 17 people or so, or maybe more from the day before, they came forward. Then you get to the next day where all of a sudden it's 373. But then by day four, it exponentially grows to 1,476. And then it more than doubles by the fourth day. So you have to ask yourself, you know, are we seeing now, has there been 6,000? Has there been 10,000 of these health impact events? And I only quote it because it's on the Lord's CDC website. And we all know
they stopped keeping track after that.
Well, this is just they literally released this on the 19th. So this was released 2 days ago. Zero headlines. And, you know, when we go through this and I pointed out the HIV thing, we have to remember that Bayer had to pay out millions of dollars for injecting people with HIV in this country and around the world. You know,
and they made it legal in California to purposefully give HIV or purposely expose somebody to HIV here, I think.
Dude, let's just think about this for a second. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen, John, but I watch late night television sometimes, South Park on repeat, American Pickers to go to bed, and I am seeing commercial after commercial for HIV drugs. And there's like three of them, Truvada, there's one that starts with a K. And I'm thinking to myself, how many fucking people have HIV? What if after this vaccination, they ain't playing around and then all of a sudden people develop HIV? I mean, I hate to sound like a conspiracy kook, but is that out of the realm of possibility when they're telling you in mainstream articles that that's a possibility? Am I wacky for bringing that up? Like a year ago, if I was like, John, by the way, they're going to shut down the country and the world. They're going to have this vaccine that they tell you doesn't stop infection.
It's going to make you more susceptible to AIDS.
And people are going to go, me first. What?
Yeah, me first. Let's go.
What in the world is going on here? I mean, goddamn.
They want to scare everybody away from having sex, I guess. No more reproduction. Unless you are an elite and you get a pass, you get a license.
Let me say this, man. A couple weeks ago when you brought up that Utopia shit, I hadn't heard of it. I didn't know about it. And I started watching it. I got to episode, I watched four of them. And I got to the fifth one. I had to stop. It was so goddamn disturbing.
It's wild, right? Like how similar to like everything that's going on that kind of goes.
John, just not even that. But let me say this, like, I almost feel, and you know, I've
it's
watched
really good though. It's really good. It's really well done.
I agree. I feel like I haven't watched The Boys, right? And again, we come from this
excellent also.
We come from this generation that's seen like hyper violent shit, and we're almost desensitized to it, right? But what bothered me about this was, especially in the first episode, it comes at you like it's going to be almost like a buddy comedy adventure with maybe some thriller stuff. And then by the end of the episode, it's just a bloodbath, right? And it's very dark about it. It's pretty, I mean, there's some really intense moments and scenes. Very dark about it. And it only gets darker every episode that I watch. Mm-hmm. Like, at no point does it let up and go back to that happy-go-lucky first half hour that I watched of this show. And then when you see how everything's playing out, and don't ruin it for me because I'm going to get to it. You know it's based on a British series, right?
Is it really?
So you can get the British series. There's two seasons of it on Amazon Prime as well.
I heard they were not going to make a second season of Utopia. So well, I'm going to have to watch the British series.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they're going to. Why would they? Jesus Christ. It's it's so spot on. I'm surprised they even released it because they released it with that warning that they had to say it was fictitious. Well, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right. Guys.
You can't control what's outside your home, but you can control what comes in. Because Clorox disinfecting wipes kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria, including COVID-19 virus, when used as directed on hard, non-porous surfaces. So whether it's from dirty doorknobs, dirty shoes, or something else, outside germs won't stand a chance. When it counts, trust Clorox. Kill Pseudomonas, Salmonella, and Influenza virus type A2. Kill SARS-CoV-2 on hard, non-porous surfaces. Use as directed.
By the way, guys, this isn't what we're really doing right now.
I mean,
don't worry. Don't worry. This is just a story. Man.
Man. Yo, it's wild. And I'm going to have to finish it. But again, just the darkness of it. Do you think that's a problem now that we're so, you know, like my little girls, dude. I listen to sometimes what they're watching up there. And I'm like, I cried at RoboCop when I was 10 years old and my father made me watch the opening scene. I cried. You got me, guys.
That was an intense scene, though. I remember, like, oh, wow. What did you just sit through? Well, that was like that was one of the first R movies that me and my friends went to. I think we snuck that past my mom because it sounded kind of like a kiddie thing. I don't think she looked into it, RoboCop. So, like,
you had to.
We might have been like 11 or something.
Listen, I specifically remember it because it was that first time in a movie that I was seeing. Again, guys, it's another time. If you didn't have HBO, that means you didn't have anything that was cursing or telling you, like, no boobs, no nothing on television.
Farmer 5, man, I had 5 channels to choose from.
So a VHS comes
like
in.
Sometimes during the day, if you didn't like soap operas or golf, you went outside.
I was used to watching, we were watching the original Back to the Future and Empire Strikes Back on VHS from Video Treats again and again and again. And when this thing came on and I was in that first, like it's in the first 10 minutes, man. They got the guy up against the brick wall. It's the dad from that 70s show and they're blowing limbs off of him and he's like begging for his life. And that was intense for a kid. I watch that now. And, like, I think the girls could end up – it's almost like a Toxic Avenger type comedy type thing, you know? But when I'm watching, like, Utopia, I mean, everything is shot so realistically and darkly and just, like, no cartoon level.
I finally saw John Wick, the first John Wick this weekend. Oh, my God. Dude. Masterpiece.
All right, so there's another one. I haven't seen the other two. I almost watched the sequel this weekend. Actually, because of you, I think I'm going to watch the latest Rambo. Yeah, I still haven't got to that. But
I'm going to bust through all of those when I get a chance, but yeah.
But when I first saw that, I swear to you, it reminded me of Swamp People on fucking History Channel. Why? Because the first time I watched Swamp People, it was literally just pop shots in gators' heads over and over again. Like they're cutting to a gator, he's getting shot in the head. Cutting to a gator, he's getting shot in the head. Yeah. John Wick is very similar in that every 30 seconds.
Over and over and over again.
Over and over and over. And that was almost cartoon level, but like.
It was fun. It was well shot. I watched tons of his stuff when he was up at that. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Tactical, something like that. It's up in north of San Francisco. It's a place where they do the training, for gun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen Kung Lee's been up there, but a number of other people have gone up there. It's a pretty famous place.
I mean, there's a lot of dance gunfighting in that, but it is an entertaining ride. Did you watch the latest Bill and Ted's yet?
No, I haven't.
Wasn't awful. You could tell they rushed it. Graphics are kind of shit, but you know, and it's that woke girl thing, but you can't get away from that anywhere. They did it in the Jay and Silent Bob movie. That
you can't have a futures female, whatever story. So I got to point towards that.
Well, I'm surprised that they haven't had Santa Claus change his gender, but what they have had him do is get a shot by Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci went on CNN with the Muppets and members of Sesame Street and told all the good children of the world that he personally gave Santa Claus the COVID-19 vaccine. How do you feel about that one?
I'm just, it's just another level of the brainwashing and gaslighting. And I just stay away from my kids. Like, you people get away. Like, I don't, like I said before, like, I don't trust these experts. They're just as slimy as a politician. Like, they'll answer to the dollar just like anybody else. There's nothing holding them accountable. If they're wrong or they're lying and you catch them, nothing will happen to them. They won't be arrested. They won't lose their job. Nothing will happen. Like weapons of mass destruction. Anybody learn anything from that? Nobody lost a job. Nobody got reprimanded. It just went away.
Well, let me say this. How about the fact that, remember when they were disproving hydroxychloroquine, when the president started talking about it and everybody, it was front page news. Lancet study. Oh, it disproved it. It doesn't do anything. You know what they didn't cover, John? In June, when the Lancet had to retract their paper saying hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine without macleod for treatment of COVID-19, a multinational registry analysis. And you read this, and the reason that they had to retract it is because they were never able to peer review it because the data sets were withheld from them because they purposely did not give those people zinc. And if you don't give them zinc, it doesn't work.
It didn't work.
So they killed all those people. And then they put it out in a big front page story to make the president sound like a crazy person. And then in June, they retracted that paper. I missed the part where they had front page stories saying that hydroxychloroquine might actually work and that they had to retract that story. So weird. You see the ivermectin guy yet?
Oh, well. Uh-oh.
So there's a gentleman. His name is Dr. Corey. And maybe we should play some of it, but he
see
basically
the guy that didn't wear his mask down in Miami.
No, is he? I doubt it.
Oh, okay.
Hold on one second. We'll bring some of this.
Instagram doctor. Oh,
thank
never
you.
Mind.
Thank you, Dr. Ryan.
Let's skip a little bit to Dr. Corey here. Let's get past this guy because this is just a medical doctor, and here's what he has to say.
They believe they've saved their patients' lives because of your testimony at that hearing. I hope your testimony will be as impactful today. Dr. Corey.
Senator, thank you, and thank you for holding this hearing. I just want to start out, I didn't think I'd have to say this, but I want to register my offense at the ranking member's opening statement. I was discredited as a politician. I am a physician and a man of science. I have done nothing but commit myself to scientific truth and the care of patients. And to hear that I'm here because of a political angle, I am not a politician, I'm a physician. I want to start out by saying that I'm not speaking as an individual. I'm speaking on behalf of the organization that I'm a part of. We are a group of some of the most highly published physicians in the world. We have near 2,000 peer-reviewed publications among us, led by Professor Paul Marek, who is our intellectual leader. We came together early on in the pandemic, and all we have sought is to review the world's literature on every facet of this disease, trying to develop effective protocols. You just mentioned that I was here in May, and I recommended that it was critical that we use corticosteroids in this disease when all of the national and international healthcare organizations said we cannot use those.
Let's just stop it there. Steroids. How long have we been talking about steroids on this program? Right from
steroids.
The very beginning. Okay, let's continue.
Yep.
That turned out to be a life-saving recommendation. I am here again today with a new recommendation. In the last 9 months, in our review of all of the literature as a group, again, we are some of the most highly published physicians in our specialty and the world. We have done nothing but try to figure out how to identify a repurposed and available drug to treat this illness. We have now come to the conclusion after 9 months, and I have to point out, I am severely troubled by the fact that the NIH, the FDA, and the CDC, I do not know of any task force that was assigned or compiled to review repurposed drugs in an attempt to treat this disease.
In other words, all we wanted was vaccine and control, nothing else, no steroids, no repurposed drugs. Here's the kicker.
Everything has been about novel and or expensive pharmaceutically engineered drugs, things like tocilizumab and remdesivir and monoclonal antibodies and vaccines. We have 100 years of medicine development. We know we are expert in all the medicines we use, and I do not know of a task force that has been focused on repurposed drugs. I will tell you that my group and our organization, I will say that we have filled that void. That is all we have done is focus on the things we know and things we do. And I'm here to tell you, Dr. Reiter, he just presented. He has one study of the many that I want to talk about. And I want to talk about that we have a solution to this crisis. There is a drug that is proving to be of miraculous impact. And when I say miracle, I do not use that term lightly. And I don't want to be sensationalized when I say that. That is a scientific recommendation based on mountains of data that has emerged in the last 3 months.
Miracle drug, mountains of data. Here we go.
When I am told, and I just had to hear this in the opening sentence, that we are touting things that are not FDA or NIH recommended, let me be clear. The NIH, their recommendation on ivermectin, which is to not use it outside of controlled trials, is from August 27th. We are now in December. This is 3 to 4 months later. Mountains of data have emerged from many centers and countries around the world showing the miraculous effectiveness of ivermectin. It basically obliterates transmission of this virus. If you take it, you will not get sick. I want to briefly summarize the data. My manuscript, again, published by some of the most, we have contributed more to the medical knowledge of our specialty in our careers than anyone else can claim as a group. And our manuscript, which was posted on Medicine Preprint Server, details all of this evidence. I want to briefly summarize it. Number one, we have evidence that ivermectin is effective not only in prophylaxis, in the prevention. If you take it, you will not get sick. We just came across a trial last night from Argentina by the lead investigator of ivermectin in Argentina, Dr. Hector Carvalho. They prophylaxed 800 healthcare workers. Not one got sick. In the 400 that they didn't prophylax with ivermectin, 58% got sick.
So think about that. 58% who didn't take it out of across 400. 100% success rate with 800. Cheap drug, Senate hearing, actual doctor, actual solution. Do you see this on the news, John?
Nope.
Missed this one,
not
right?
Not a peep.
Now, what I want to really...
no money in it.
I want to hammer home that he said what? It stops the infection of the virus, right?
It's an infection. You won't get it.
Now, listen to this. In contrast, this is people getting giddy on the Today Show over doctors taking the vaccine live on television, and then I'm going to play the doctor telling you they don't know if it stops infection, okay? It's bizarro world.
All right, well, as we've been telling you, frontline workers are among the first to receive the vaccine. And this morning, we're joined by two of them who are going to get their vaccinations.
And you're likely still going to be just fine if you get the vaccine in a monitored setting. So it's going to be really important for all of us to understand that this vaccine, Craig, is the only way out of this pandemic.
It's the only way out. He just said it. Forget about the ivermectin that stops infection. This vaccine is the only way out of the pandemic. And listen to what he says next.
It's broadly safe. We're learning more, as Dr. Fakely just mentioned. We're learning more about how long immunity lasts. How long are we protected after this two-dose regimen? And that's number one. And then number two, we're going to learn, does this vaccine protect against severe pneumonia? Does it also, we already know that, does it also protect against transmission? That's the key question here. Does this vaccine protect against transmission? Because a vaccine can protect against severe illness leading to the ICU, but it can also potentially still allow for infection where people are unwittingly transmitting the virus.
Yeah.
We're going to have clarity on that question, guys, in the next 2 to 4 weeks. And I think that's going to be really important for the American people.
The guy says wonderful. They're telling you on television. They don't know if it'll
actually stop. Did he actually, was there a close-up of the shot? Did he actually get the shot?
I, you know, the other guy gets it first.
I saw, because I posted a video that I, that was the fake injection, and then people tagged me on at least two other videos of people also getting fake injections where they're staged. And that's, yeah. Did he even really get it?
Listen, man, even if you took an injection, how the fuck do I know it's the COVID-19 vaccine? It could be anything.
It could be saline.
It could be, listen, you've had injections.
B12.
You're an athlete. I'm sure it's happened to you, right? I mean, they all look the same. It's not like you would know on television what they're shooting these people up with. But again, the doctor just told you, and their smiles and they're happy. There's one doctor that just told you, you don't need to take a shot. You can take ivermectin and it works as a prophylactic. Okay. So in other words, you won't get sick. Okay. And then he goes on to talk about treating it with that. This doctor tells you right out of the gates, they don't know if the vaccine even stops transmission.
It doesn't work at all. It's very expensive. Make you sick. You're going to get AIDS.
What's not to love about it? All right.
First they made the frogs gay. Now they're going to give everybody AIDS.
It sounds sick, guys, but don't count it out. You watch the fights this weekend, my friend?
I didn't get a chance to sit through the whole fights. I saw little clips and highlights there. I'm a little surprised at the Stephen Thompson coming up and doing what he was able to do.
He looked juiced. He looked juicy, dude.
He looked huge, yeah.
Dude, did you see him?
They're doing WWE protocols for their testing right now.
Did you see Aldo? Neo... look, guys,
it's just a cover, man. That's none of it's real.
I love the sports. And you know what? All I'm going to say
is... I love the fights, but they don't run it like a sport.
Well, again, Stephen Thompson looked like they put him on the Vitor Belfort diet. He looked nothing like his last fight. He looked really good. You know, Jeff Neal's a real tough guy. He could knock it on the inside. And then Aldo versus Marlon Vera, Aldo looked juicy. And again, they say Aldo's 36. I don't know that Aldo's 36. You know, you come from Brazil, South America. Sometimes there's some fudging of the numbers. Marlon Moraes versus Rob Font. Rob Font, man, with the big W there.
Marlon's on a big slide, man. He's struggling.
Dude, Marcin Tybura versus Greg Hardy. Hardy looked good early. He actually looked like he might have even been able to finish Tybura. You know I'm no Hardy fan, but... second round, when he wasn't as strong, immediately on his back and oversauce. Once he's on the ground with somebody that has any skills, that seems to be a wrap for Hardy. Yeah. Tybura hammered it down on him on that one. Remember there was
some of these guys, man, it's like I don't understand why they don't train certain positions just all the time until they've mastered it. You don't have to become a black belt at jiu-jitsu, but there's certain techniques, certain systems, certain things you should be like just doing over and over and over again until you can like get up all the time. You know, like I don't get it. No, I'm just gonna hit pads and hit the bag today and then spar.
Well, dude, I watched it was live yesterday. Sonnen had a submission underground on Fight Pass. And I'm a big combat sports guy. I was watching it. And there was a couple really interesting matches. One was Bader versus Anthony Johnson. Now, it was supposed to be Anthony Johnson, who looks in shape. He looks like he's ready to come back to Bellator big time. He doesn't look like that big heavyweight dude. He looks like he was taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he was supposed to fight Verdum. And Verdum went to L.A. and he was ready to do it. He got sick a few days beforehand. They didn't say COVID, but he was just sick. Mm-hmm. He couldn't do it. So they brought Bader in. Bader got that sweet, sweet chin music from Nemkov in his last fight. And
that was a big kick. I mean, he set that up beautifully. Dropped the kick down over the top of that right hand.
Nemkov looks good. But Bader, dude, he handled Rumble. I mean, I really was surprising. Even Sonnen.
You're talking about an All-American wrestler. Versus a guy who was a high school wrestler. Well, he would maybe D2.
I think D2. You're
right. D2 wrestler who, I mean, he's kind of stiff. He's not a great wrestler. He's really strong and he hits hard. That's his thing is he hits hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I would think Bader would outposition somebody like Rumble.
Well, the way they do it is a little bit different. So like in Submission Underground.
Yeah, because they do like different rounds. Like they start different positions.
Well, yeah. Well, so they give you a 5-minute open round. Okay. So you both start on your feet. It's where it goes. You could tap the guy, you tap the guy, it's over, right? And then what they do is they flip a coin, and then you can either decide to take it or defer, right? So then there's three rounds starting with that first position. Mm-hmm. So they time it in each three round of you getting away from a position, which can be an arm bar, it can be your back, you know, it can even be like a front choke. You got several positions you can try to get in. So as soon as the guy escapes, it goes away. Now, if the guy taps and it's the first person, you have that same amount of time in the next round to tap him. You understand how it works? But once mm-hmm. that goes, it goes. So it was pretty interesting. Most of the guys go for the arm bars. I enjoyed that. But then Cowboy and Dos Anjos had a match also. And what was funny was in like the over rounds, right, after that initial round, Dos Anjos clearly taps. It doesn't look like he wants to tap or he's in that much pain, but he taps, dude. And he's arguing with Cowboy, and Cowboy's like, well, we can do it again. And like Sonnen, you know, he's not there, but he's like, no, we're not doing it again, blah, blah, blah. And then they go to the main event, which was Ishii versus somebody, I forget. Mm-hmm. And they decided in the back they were going to come back out, and they did it again. And then Cowboy tapped him again. So it was, you know, hey, I like what Sonnen's doing. I actually liked Sonnen's play by play.
It's interesting, it's fun.
Listen, man, I think that's good stuff because, you know, high-level grappling is very different than MMA, but it's such an integral part, and it makes it interesting for me to watch a guy like Cowboy, and I don't have to worry that I'm going to have to watch some devastating knockout or that he's going to fold to Conor McGregor in some backdoor, you know, throw the fight.
I used to love the old grappling ACDC matches, the gold grappling stuff, when you had, you know, Lin and other people fight, you know, grappling, and there are different promotions, you know, fighting each other. It was pretty cool.
Well, Eddie Bravo's got his with 10th Planet, and they've got combat jiu-jitsu. I haven't watched that yet. I got to get on it. There's no more fights this year, dude. It's all done. It's all done. We have to do, like, our top fights next week. That's what we should do. We should find out what our top fights are going to be, our top KOs, and highlight it, because there really is.
Man, I don't have that good of a memory.
No, you don't. Your boy won, by the way. Darren Wynn.
Darren Wynn.
Yeah, he got his W. And, dude, Arroyo, I mean, you know that Wynn's not big for his weight class at all, but Arroyo looked literally too fucking.
Well, he's heavy, but he's not tall.
He's really short. What's it? What is he, like 5'6"?
Yeah, man. He's like as wide as he is tall.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like a mini Cormier for sure.
You know.
He's got a lot of work to do.
If you can't keep him at range and he starts grappling and clinching with you, you're in trouble, man, because he's hard to get off.
Oh, so no fights. Fauci, you know, he's pricking Santa Claus. You got anything to close out this Christmas holiday episode with, Fish?
Go to johnfish.net, sign up for the newsletter, and I got, you know, stuff on Gumroad to check it all out. Book me for seminars. And if you're in the Bay Area, I also do like small groups. I got my lab here in the garage set up. So, you know, I can easily host 4 to 6 people in here. Reach out to Leah at johnfish.net. Set it up.
And set up for him to be in D.C. in about 2 weeks, January 4th. You know, again, Proud Boys, I'm telling you, you want some John Fitch in your life. You want to. You don't want to be in gorilla outfits. You don't want to be wearing bike helmets. You don't want to be wearing baseball helmets and all that other good stuff. You want to be confident enough where that's not an option and you can defer the situation without violence. And the best way to do that is to actually know how to choke somebody unconscious. TheGruelingTruth.com is where you find the audio podcast. After the fact, you can find us both at Rockfin. I'm there at 11 a.m. Monday through Friday Eastern Time exclusively. John, when are we going to get the cocktail and cauliflower hour back on?
I need to put that together again, man. Maybe this. Well, I got to pick my sister up from the airport, but I gotta figure out. Maybe I'll record one and then I'll put it up instead of going live, or I'll just go in loft time. I don't know when. I gotta figure it out. But my new favorite bottle of scotch is now being sold at Costco.
What's that?
So that's a big deal. It's Aardberg 5-year. It's called Wee Beastie.
Okay.
It's tasty. It's tasty. I save a few bucks buying it at Costco also.
I gotta get to a bar.
Pretty pumped.
Yeah, the bars are open here in Iowa. It's so like, I'm going to get coffee without a mask again. It's pretty great, oh, John. Wow. I know.
I took the dog to the dog park and I didn't bring a mask and I was getting eyeballs at me. Fucking outside, man.
Dude,
like 20 feet away from people. You're fine. Like, yeah. Leave me alone.
Around here, I don't even get eyeballs inside. You know, if anything, it's an eyeball of envy. Like, oh my God, I can do this too. Oh, this sounds great. But again, we still gotta resist. So much wackiness going on in New York, California, and around the country. It goes even beyond this election. But again, I'm gonna be in DC, probably maybe the 4th through the 7th. We got to encourage Fitch to get there. All right, guys, I love you. Merry Christmas. We got the jingling. Let's jingle it.
Jingle.
We'll see you on the flip later.
In Jacksonville, you'll get more of what you want out of a Florida vacation and less of what you don't. For less lines and more unwind, come stroll down our 22 miles of white sand beaches. Here, it's less hectic and more eclectic with our weekly arts markets and vibrant outdoor mural scene. And with fresh local seafood, farm-to-table restaurants, and more than 20 local craft breweries on the Jack's Ale Trail, you'll be saying less meh and more Jacksonville. It's easier here.
You can't control what's outside your home, but you can control what comes in. Because Clorox disinfecting wipes kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria, including COVID-19 virus, when used as directed on hard, non-porous surfaces. So whether it's from dirty doorknobs, dirty shoes, or something else, outside germs won't stand a chance. When it counts, trust Clorox. Kill Pseudomonas, Salmonella, and influenza virus type A2. Kill SARS-CoV-2 on hard, non-porous surfaces. Use as directed.